at the Greater King David Baptist Church Multicultural and Educational Center, 222 Blount Road, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Dr. Montgomery has truly been a blessing to so many near and far. Join us in exhibiting grand love and support for our great and deserving leader. Your words of kindness, fellowship, and gifts of love will be appreciated. No gift is too small, and certainly no gift is too large. We pray multitudinous returns on your gift. Please send all gifts to Dr. John Montgomery, care of Reverend Daniel Smith, 911 Lodell Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Make all checks payable to Dr. John Montgomery. For additional information on exciting events for Dr. Montgomery, phone 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577.
St. Matthew chapter 2. I want to begin reading at verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject this morning, celebrating Jesus. Celebrating Jesus. The text says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, celebrating Jesus. I think at this time of the year that we take our time as a Christian body, as believers who are keenly aware of God's great gift, again, not only to the world, but to the believers, especially who have partook of this wonderful and extraordinary gift that God has given, can understand how important it is to know that God wants us to recognize that his love was the motive for giving us Jesus, who has given to us not only life here, but life eternally. I think it's important for us to understand and never forget gratefulness is a part of what he expects from the believer, because the gift that he gives was not just a one-time gift in and of itself, and it was through. It was given once, but it had a component within it that continues to give, not only in this life, but even after this life is over. It is a gift unlike any other gift we will ever receive in this world or any world to come. It is a gift that has with it a consciousness. It is a gift that had with it a mission that it had for God's glory and for the good of mankind. It was a gift that could only operate if received and if allowed to have its purpose fulfilled in the receiver's life. This is not a gift you can get and put up on the shelf or put away and never use it and expect it to work for you. In order for this gift to function the way that it had been designed to help man in his quest to know God right and to be restored back into a right relationship, it was important for them to understand that there must be a relationship with this gift. And when we come to the understanding of knowing what God wants for us, when we celebrate this time and understand that God gave to us, but the gift that he gave to us is a gift that continues to give to us, so much so that our gratitude should be on a daily basis. You know, how a lot of us don't thank God the way that we ought to thank him, because we don't think about what he's done for us in the way that he's done it for us. One of the things that I want us to look at is this story about the wise men in the eastern country called Magi. Now, we say magi, but the word is magi, and of course it is the same root word that you get the word magician from. And these men, who were not necessarily Christian men, they were, however, religious men. They were men who were known to be some of the finest, if you will, seers, or those who were able to, or they were astrologers and astronomers connected together. That was not a major difference as in it is today, and they kind of worked all together. But these were men who yet were religious enough to understand that if there was a creator, and they did know that to be, and some of them from different pagan countries gave credit to wrong gods, but nonetheless, that was a spirit of religion that they had. But they were able to read the skies, the stars, the heavens, and tell things and events through those stars and so forth. And they were wise, not so much and totally because of their ability to read the stars or to gain the messages from them, the signs and the zodiacs, etc. But these Eastern men here had something else on the inside of them that went far beyond just that of the astrology of that day. One of the things that I want you to understand is it said these men saw this star in the east. It is suggested that they were from either the Mesopotamia area, even as far as Babylon, where some of the greatest astrologers were. However, wherever they were from that point going back toward Jerusalem and Bethlehem. And so obviously some of, again, the strongest minds in the astrologist world were coming together in what they all saw. Now, whether they came from the same place or they met up on the same track, seeing the same star, one thing was very real and one thing was very evident, that they had been so captivated by this star that it called them from where they were to where the star had pointed to. The text says this, and I want to read it. Verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, there are several things I want to draw out about this. First of all, the speculation is that because Jerusalem was the chief city, in their route they stopped by Jerusalem. It is suggested that these men were sought after by some of the greatest kings around the world at that time for their knowledge to be able to foretell the future and events and so forth. Some suggest that they had come and stopped by Herod because it was a courtesy call that they paid to him on their way looking for the real king. It's important because when they come and they show up at Herod's house, the Bible says that they were looking for the man or the child that was born king of the Jews. Now Herod was king, but he wasn't king born. Matter of fact, he wasn't even a full Jew. And because of that, there was not really any real love on the behalf or the part of the Jews for him. It was half kind of love, and he was there tolerated, and he played the role between them and the Romans, and his faith and his loyalty was split between the two, and they never did receive from him the kind of love from a king who loved his subjects and so forth. And he knew he played that line to the best of his ability because he knew he wasn't a full Jew. He knew the Romans didn't love him, but they had to have somebody in there who had the knowledge of their people, and the role he had was one he tried to keep because it wasn't a role that he knew he deserved or that he was able to maintain without him manipulating the situation, as it were. Amen. You'll see in scripture what I'm talking about. The Bible says, verse 2 again, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, they never came to worship Herod. in this instance or anyone before, according to commentators, etc. Herod now is the king, but he has issues with this because these men from the east, who's not a part of his kingdom, are coming because there is one born through prophecy. And even though he knows of this, he now has understanding that the men have seen a star that has come into place in the stellar system, in the cosmos, to pronounce Jesus is born. Now, I need you to know they show up late for the birthday celebration, but they still show up. And when they saw that that star came, and the star appeared once Jesus got here, so when they saw the star, they commit to going in that direction of the star. They stop, they talk with Herod, and now Herod, verse 3 says, is troubled. When Herod the king heard these things, what did he hear? That the king heard about a king who was born king, not named or made king, but born king. Listen, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, Jerusalem was troubled not that Jesus was born, but that the king who was presently heading the throne was not a godly man. And because of the fact that Herod was so wicked and Herod was so unrighteous, that always put pressure on the people when the king was unrighteous. So all of Jerusalem was disturbed behind the issue that they hear in this story. Verse 4 says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, the Bible says, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. So all of the wise men in the word, all of the people who would know the prophecy, he called together, and he inquires of them, and they tell him. Bible says, verse 6, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Now, while he's conjuring up these things in his heart because he's troubled, because he knows if there is a king born of the Jews, that his reign will soon be short-lived. Now listen at this. Bible says in verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now why do they again rejoice at this star again? Because it did not continue to shine when they went to Herod's house, because again, it was a sign to them, he ain't the one. And listen at this, sometime when you get out of the wheel, that has guided you, stop guiding you until you come back into the wheel and discover that God's got this thing fixed. And it was at that point in time that they realized, because no longer did they see that star while they're in Jerusalem, while they're mingling with Herod, and while they were there in that place. But when they again made their way toward Bethlehem, they found out that the star shone, and they followed it and had great joy. Now, verse 11 is where I want to focus it, because it says, when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now let's put our focus here and see it, if you will. These wise men, whatever they were not, one thing that did make them wise was that they sought the one that God had given not only to the Jews, but totally to mankind. The fact that these men come who are not Jewish men, the fact that these men come who are not a part of the Jerusalem, the Judeo system, or those men who have come out of a whole nother religious order, shows the fact that what God presented to this world has the ability to draw from every place, every person, every power, and every potentate if they will open their eyes and see the gift that God has given to this world. One of the things that I think is so important about this, again, and hopefully you'll see this, is that what makes one wise is when one desires to follow the will of God. It doesn't matter what your background is. If you ever make up your mind, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, I'm going to follow that God leads me. And when we come to the point of understanding that his will not begin outside of Jesus, then we begin to seek Jesus first. Notice this now. They came seeking him. They had their minds, their focus, their attention on him. The star that they followed was all about him. The journey they took from their far country was all about him. Before they ever left home was all about him. Even when he got in the presence of Herod, that king, it wasn't about Herod, it was really still about Jesus. When you understand, when you make up your mind and focus on God, there will be events and situations that will happen sometime in your seeking him and searching for him. You may not find that you're looking the moment you begin searching. But if you never ever give up on seeking and finding the one who can make a difference in your life, then you will discover that on your way to finding him, everything about you is focused on him. There will be things that have come up in your life to try and take your focus, take your attention away. But if you keep it on him, you will find and discover that there will be great joy when you discover him. Look again, because I want you to see. When they saw the star, verse 10, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy because the star was reflecting him. Now they get to the house. They're not concerned about everybody else who's in the house. Because when they see him with his mother and he's there and everything and everything perhaps else that's going on in the house, their whole focus and concentration is still all about him, celebrating him. Now look again, because the Bible says when they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, they fell down and worshiped him. Now again, I've got to keep this in perspective for you, because what God wants from us more than the stuff we have in our hands is the stuff we've got in our hearts. If you are really going to celebrate Jesus Christ, you're not celebrating him with money. You're not celebrating him with gifts. You're not celebrating him with things. You're going to celebrate him with the reality and the revelation of who he is in your hearts. That means more to God than anything else, because a true celebration of Christ is understanding the spirit of Christ. Understanding, that's why so many folk get messed up about the Christmas day experience rather than the Christmas spirit experience. If you understand the difference between the day and the spirit, you will understand and have the joy of what the day brings throughout the year. But if you're caught up on the day and miss the spirit, when the day doesn't go like you want it, then Christmas won't be merry for you. No, notice here again, it was a merry Christmas or Christ mass or celebration for them because they found who they were looking for. It didn't matter what they had to go through getting to this day. It didn't matter what went through their minds and what they endured on that journey there. All they had a focus was of getting to see him for themselves. And the first thing they did was fell down on their face and worshiped him. Now I got to tell you, you got to be so focused that you can't let other folks stop your worship. You got to know that Jesus is the reason for your worship, and it don't matter who's around the house, who's in the house, who's on the side of you. When you come to worship him, it ought to be about celebrating him. It ain't about anybody else. They've been traveling for a long time. They didn't get to the house and say, wait, look, I'm tired now. We'll worship later. I'm not feeling good. Matter of fact, the closer they got, and when they got to the point where the star stopped, they knew that was the house where the one to be worshiped was, and great joy started, listen at this, before they ever got in the house. See, when you come with your mind, the old folks say, I woke up this morning with my mind. See, you ain't got no problem when you get to church if you wake up with your mind. Before you leave your house, before you ever get to his house, if you wake up and put your mind, if it don't come that way on him, you start rejoicing before you ever get here. Some folk bring their fire, others catch on the other folk fire. That's all right, just as long as you get some before you leave here. But I got news for you. It ain't nothing like coming to church and you already have had church on the inside. So when you come to worship in this worship experience, I want you to see something. Nobody had to tell them, worship Jesus. Nobody had to tell them to fall down on their face and reverence him and honor him. Look, now I want you to see something else. These aren't church folk. See, it seems like the only folk you got to tell to worship the Lord and tell folk to honor the Lord and tell folk to give God glory are church folk. But when you meet him for yourself and truly meet him for yourself, you don't need nobody to say, now let us all bow down. And when they came in the house and saw the child, the first thing they did was fall down and begin to worship him. Hallelujah. Not them, him. Listen to this. Worshiped him. Celebrated him. Now, I wish I could tell you how long that went on. That might give us a helpful hint as to how long we ought to worship him. But the word just says they started out with worship. Worship, listen. And when they worshiped him, Bible says, then they opened their treasures. Come on. Because I got news for you. I've discovered this, and this is a truth in many folks' experience. You never ever truly give what you will give when you give first without worshiping. Now somebody don't understand this, and I want you to hear this. Because when you get folk to come in and they give without having first worshiped, their spirits are not open to God. They're not susceptible to the leading of the Holy Ghost. They're cold. They've come there. Many of them come with some other spirits. Many of them have to wade through other spirits. Many of them are sitting by other spirits. And they hadn't focused on him yet. But once God connects with your spirit, once God has you where he wants you to, and you are open to him, it is only then that you will hear him and heed him. How many times have you come in a place and you had already planned to give what you were going to give, but then your spirit connected with God? God spoke to your spirit and he changed your mind. Has that ever happened to anybody? Okay, let me say this to you. Now, that would not have happened had God's spirit not been able to connect with you by you being open and submissive to him. You can't worship him and not have your whole spirit open toward him. See, you don't even feel like giving until you are connected with the giver. And they were connected with the greatest gift this world had known in the person of Jesus Christ. And when they had come with their gifts, listen, they gave what they gave, but they gave it after they gave what was more important than what was in their hands, and that was what was in their hearts. And when they released, and they did it then with joy, that came immediately. That flowed right afterwards. See, listen again, God wants you to be careful about understanding this giving thing. The Bible has already declared that God wants you to be a cheerful giver, not grudgingly. Not of necessity, not because you're made to, not because it's on the program, but because you understand the importance and the relevance of giving. Every time you give, you set yourself up to be blessed. Every time you give. First of all, as we obey him in that he has asked for in the tithe, once we release that, anything else above and beyond that sets us up for abundance. And if you then give in that past the tithe, then if you give sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you give bountifully, you reap bountifully. If you learn the principle, then you understand that giving is more than money. Now hear this, because I want you to understand that more than anything. If you have a spirit of giving, there are things that God connects with you. If you notice Jesus and his ministry of giving, his ministry of giving had very little to do with money. I said his ministry of giving had very little to do with money. There were instances where he used money to pay taxes and so forth and so on and all that. But money was not his giving ministry. It was of his gifts. It was of his abilities. It was of that God had empowered him to do. So when you begin to understand the true spirit of giving, it goes so much further than your money. If you think all that God wants is his money that you got in your pocket, you got this thing twisted. Understand the spirit and you open yourself up to receive the manifold blessings of God in every area of your life. When you first begin in understanding the greatest thing God gave to man was not money, but his son. His son. And to adapt the spirit of his son in your life will make you a co-giver like his son. And be able to set yourself up to be the kind of giver that reflects the spirit of his son, and thus the spirit of this day that we celebrate all throughout the year. Celebrating Jesus should not be a one-day event. And listen at this, I promise you, if you just begin right where you live, celebrating Jesus on a daily basis, your family, your friends, your loved ones would not get caught up on one day when Christmas is almost like every day with you when you celebrate the Spirit of Christ. See, there are some folk who got the Spirit of Christ. I mean, gift-giving ain't no big day on this day for them, because they get it so much all through the year. It's like, baby, you ain't got to give me nothing for Christmas. It ain't really my birthday today. We celebrating Jesus. Now you get somebody who don't have that spirit, what you gonna give me for Christmas? And they got a list, and they, I wish I had a witness here. But I want you to see this as I close. As they worshiped him and as they gave him out of their treasures, multiple treasures representing multiple men. The Bible makes clear that the gifts they gave were worthy gifts. That's the last thing I want to say about your gifts. Your gift doesn't have to be great, but your gift does have to be worthy. Now, I want you to understand what I just said. See, too many of us, again, buy into commercialism as it relates to gift giving. What God is looking for does not cost money. But God will not receive a meager gift from those who claim to worship him. The gift-giving experience goes all the way back to the beginning of the book, of the book of beginnings, Genesis. And see where two brothers, Cain and Abel, give a wonderful illustration in helping us to understand God doesn't have to accept anything. If your gift is not worthy, God is the judge, because connected with your gift is your heart. And even if you didn't have but a rock that God made, And you took that rock and you washed that rock and you wrapped that rock and you said, God, this rock is indicative right now of what I want. I don't have, but what I want is just a part I'm holding in my hand. Maybe in my heart, this rock is a great big diamond. And I mean, you got to make it real to God, because what's in your hand.